Go. Say it. Say it.
The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Stone.
Mean it. Say it again.
The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Stone.
No, not sexy, like real.
The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Stone.
Nailed it.
Oh, boy. I didn't even check the microphones yet.
We should probably do that first.
Well, whatever.
You're in a real whatever mood.
Yeah. I got a sports injury right now.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What happened?
I don't know.
This is annoying, I know.
Are you fixing the mic? I keep putting that back down because then you do that and it's all tippy-topsy there.
Yeah, but...
See that? Look how delicate, look how fragile that is you're working with.
I don't care.
All right.
I need the reach.
I'll be rock and roll about it.
Yeah.
My knee's all fucking jacked. I was hobbling around Super Bowl parties yesterday, one of which was yours.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about it?
Sure, man.
I feel bad for you.
I don't care.
You care.
I do care.
You had a party and made all Georgia snacks for that party. That's not someone who doesn't care.
That's true. I've been looking forward to this for 2 weeks, and
I thought you were going
to
say years. I was like, the last time they were hopeful or something.
Yeah,
like, two weeks? That's not.
No, but ever since I knew they were going to be in the Super Bowl, I was just like, all right, it's on. I'm going to have a party.
Yeah.
I'm going to cook a bunch of nice stuff.
You did do that. You won.
Yeah,
I won yesterday.
I won Super Bowl big time. But
you made that pork, those wings, none of which I could have.
Dude, I don't want to suck my own back, but...
I've never heard that phrase.
Wait,
before.
No, I don't want to pat myself on the dick, but geez, that pork was on point, baby.
Pat myself on the dick. I know.
My pork game is on point.
We showed up late. Rachel, I think, cleaned it up for you.
Yeah, she got in there.
That was a potent sauce. I smelled that all last night.
Yeah,
that was. I slept.
Oh, that was
fog of pulled pork odor.
Hickory smoke and peach sauce. Peach sauce. Shout out to my buddy Craig Holzer, pit master at King's Barbecue in Atlanta. He shared with me his peach barbecue sauce recipe. I wanted to go with an all Georgia theme, so made this delicious.
I had it on a plain piece of bread.
Yeah. And it, just a whole bunch of peachy goodness. I'm not at liberty to share the recipe here.
No, but, it's not one just, that's, you go down to, where is he?
King's Barbecue.
Go on down to King's Barbecue in Atlanta.
Yeah.
You got an address in every neighborhood?
Every Monday night at Star Bar now, they're setting up a pop-up.
Oh, no shitty.
Yeah.
All right.
One of the best shows in the country, Star Bar in Atlanta every Monday night. That show's been going on like 13 years.
Yeah.
Now King's Barbecue, which is Craig Holzer and my buddy Paul Galois, they're setting up a pop-up every Monday night selling brisket tacos, pulled pork tacos, and Jarritos glazed ribs, that Mexican soda.
That sounds all right.
They make a glaze out of this Jarritos soda and slathered on their badass pork ribs.
And all hosted by Rodney, a man who sounds like he eats tombstones for breakfast.
But yeah, so anyway, Craig hooked me up with his secret peach sauce recipe. Made the pulled pork, made the smoked chicken wings. Oh, the pork and the wings were just out of this world.
Yeah.
And also did my pimento cheese, which we've talked about. I did my boiled peanuts, which we've talked about.
That pimento cheese was you know how good it was?
Mm-hmm.
I found just a lone Triscuit or Cheez-It that was just in the bowl, and I just used it.
It
had been there all day.
Yeah.
And I was like, I got to get it in my mouth somehow. Everything short of digging my hands into it.
You know what I did this morning? Leftovers.
Shit a bunch.
I made a pulled pork and pimento cheese omelet.
Whew.
It was good.
See, you have the knowledge to like go off on a whim. I tried to the other day I made 3 eggs and I put spicy ranch dressing in it again, which was bad before, and I also put the packets. It sounds bad when I say it out loud.
Yeah, it sounds bad anyway.
I keep saving all those little packets of Parmesan cheese and crushed red pepper when you get pizza delivered.
Yeah.
Never think to put it on a pizza, but you know it's going to go in our spicy ranch eggs. Made me sick. I mean, I didn't throw up or anything, but I didn't feel good.
Was that the you tweeted last week about the expired ingredients, and now you're just waiting on the diarrhea?
No, that was a salad. That was a salad I made with a lot of old stuff. Like, everything had been compromised. Everything I put in there is like, any one of these things could be... It's like when a firing squad, when they, you know...
Yeah, one gun really doesn't have a bullet in it.
Yeah, so really, that was their side of defense. Like, one of these is actually fine to eat, and everything else...
Man, we've talked about that before. I commend your principle of using all your ingredients, but not...
I don't want to beat a dead horse, but to tenderize it needed, I probably would. Come on there!
But at the risk of your own health, you know? It's not going to kill you to throw out a bag of salad every now and then.
No, you know what? I'm sitting here limping with a cane because of some bullshit gout thing. So you know what? No, I'll eat whatever I want. I'm already crippled because of stuff that's supposed to be good for me. Well, not the beer and everything. But I also ate a lot of cauliflower last week. That might have done it. I was like, well, I'll make cauliflower.
Why would that have done it?
Because I don't know.
But that's good for you.
See, yeah, that's the trick. Stuff that's supposed to be good for you, still not good for you.
You ever had that buffalo cauliflower?
Oh, I did that. Ooh, I didn't have the ingredients for that, so I just made some roasted with thyme and stuff. It was good. But, Adam, we have to talk about the gout diet so much. You made a killer spread.
Great spread.
The party I went to before had the most L.A. thing it could have, or maybe the most Brooklyn thing. That was still great. It wasn't a taco truck, but they had two guys that ride their bicycles to wherever you're having an event and make, I don't know if the tacos were vegan or vegetarian, but they come and they make 100 tacos.
Huh.
With their bike. They pull it all on the bike, and the place I was at was way up in this screwy part of the hill, so I felt bad for these dudes. I hope the guy throwing a party, I'm sure, took care of them. But had a little container full of balls of dough, those are tortillas that they would smash and make fresh, and then we could have a jackfruit taco or a soy riso taco. And I like soy riso better than chorizo. I'll say it right here.
Huh.
I like that stuff better. I mean, jackfruit.
Mexican soy.
Yeah. Well, which it's not my joke, but I've seen it I don't know who originated, but like soy milk just means I am milk. I was trying to write a real bad joke about how, listen to these. People speak it in Spanish. They sure like Toriemos a lot. Just because Amos means we do something, the form of the verb. But Tori would have to be a verb.
That's true.
Toriemos.
Toriemos.
Like we all Tori. Mm-hmm. It's not a good joke. That's why I should shut up.
I love every now and then I'll just listen to the Mexican radio station. Because it's different and it's fun. Mm-hmm. And I don't mind an accordion.
I love an accordion.
But during the commercials, they'll obviously be speaking in Spanish really fast. Yeah. But then the one word,
the English plug. Yeah.
They're just Spanish, you know, John Hinckley Ford. John Hinckley, that's a bad example because that's a guy.
That's the guy who tried.
I was thinking of an arbitrary Ford dealership.
Not that anybody listening to this hasn't read the tweets already, but that was what I was proud of earlier because they're rolling back gun control so that mentally unstable people can have access to gun. I'm like, God, look what happens. You get somebody like John Hinckley that can get a gun. Go for it. You know what? That's what I would. Why can't we get a fucking Manchurian candidate for the side that you agree with? You know?
Interesting.
This is what I was thinking about, and it was terrible to think about it. But if you see somebody who's real riled up, you got a weird neighbor who's real riled up about Trump, maybe poke him a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe keep poking him a little bit.
Yeah.
Don't tell him to do anything, but just, actions speak louder than words.
I was talking about that.
I'm going to go to jail right now. Probably feds are going to arrest us right now.
Talking about that with a friend today, if you had a terminal illness, you knew you was about to go out.
Oh.
I
mean, the list of things I would do if I had a terminal illness.
Yeah, but I mean, that would be one of them.
How about the idea that a Manchurian candidate is just any loner at a bar that you prod into doing, go talk to her, man. She's into you. And then it's she hates me. Fucking fool. That's just a Manchurian candidate, except mind control was just three shots of Jägermeister and false self-esteem. I've been that. I'm usually that guy. It would be funny if somebody did this knowing I would hear it and be like, what do I need to do for funny? What do I need to do to be accepted?
Yeah.
We're all Manchurian candidates. That's just low self-esteem. It's just wanting to belong.
Mm-hmm. I understand.
What else happened since?
I don't know. I had a good week.
Trump shit show. It's almost mundane to mention that things are disastrous. I have no insight or smart opinions. We know what's going on. We're all fighting a good fight. So,
hung out with a musical crush last week.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, my good buddy Shauna Tucker.
Oh, yeah?
We've talked about her before. Former bass player of the Drive-By Truckers, my favorite band. She was in town. Got to go see her do a little private concert. Mm-hmm. A little just VIP.
That's what they're calling
concert. Yeah. Then next night, hung out with her. Did I tell you about when we hung out a couple years ago? Me and her.
She came through. I knew you had been like yeah, like just, you guys had known each other for a little while.
Well, now, at the time, we just met a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. And just a platonic friendship type thing. But yeah. She wasn't, I don't know how it started. Like, I think we started shouting at each other on Twitter. Just one of those things. And she happened to be in town. And she's like, hey, I'm going to be in town for about a week. Why don't we go, you know, have dinner or do whatever? And I was like, yeah, that sounds good. I invited her over to the apartment. This was the time a couple years ago. And I was going to make her dinner. And I did.
That's a good move.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's a good, like, guys that can cook and then you make a dinner. That's a good.
Yeah. And she can cook, too. So I was under a lot of pressure. Okay. All right. Because she's no slouch in the kitchen. The other day, she texted me something about how she just, she cooked an entire lamb chop in a cast iron skillet, and I didn't take any pictures. I ate the whole thing. And I almost said, marry me, question mark?
Yeah, God bless her. Who else needs to know?
Gal that can cook and eat an entire lamb chop. Anyway, she was going to come over and hang out a couple years ago, and she's literally walking up. She's like, hey, I'm walking up. Be there in about a minute. And I was doing a last-second check of the apartment, and I noticed, I don't know if you remember, at the old place, I had two big framed nice posters in the living room, and one was of the Drive-By Truckers, and the other was of Jason Isbell. And she wouldn't mind me telling this. A lot of people know this. She used to be married to Jason Isbell.
Yeah.
And they've since become good friends, but they're divorced.
They waited to become good friends.
Not become good friends, but whatever problems they had that led to the divorce, to hear her tell it, they've kind of patched that up, and now it's an amicable.
Oh, that's good.
So that's good. So she wouldn't mind me talking about that. But anyway, one poster of the Drive-By Truckers, one poster of Jason Isbell. She's walking up, and I was like, oh, man, this is going to look a little creepy.
Hey, used to
be in that band, used to be married to that guy. I'm not a weirdo. Like, I don't have a tattoo of your face on my leg or anything.
You just have bare walls when she came in.
I took the Isbell poster down. So I figured one would be okay. But if I had them both, and those being the only posters in the room.
Yeah, I mean, I could see. It's like you're hanging out as regular people.
Yeah.
So, but it's okay to be a fan.
Yeah, yeah. But that's been the problem. Like, when I hang out with her, like, and she's super cool. But, like, I have to really be aware.
Do you remember the recording from when you guys played
something
in
Chris
Birmingham
Farley
on 2003?
You remember that time when you were in the Drive-By Chuggers?
Yeah.
That was cool.
Yeah.
But I have to really kind of tone that down, suppress that, as to not creep her out.
I should just take down everything in my apartment if I didn't want to creep out a woman. But yeah, that's not how it's going.
So yeah, I got to hang with her. That was a good good time. Man, I'll throw this out real quick. Not to get this isn't a very sappy or an emotional podcast, but shout out to my mom.
Okay,
old Nancy Stone.
Yeah,
today is her 3-year cancer-free anniversary.
That's a great thing to celebrate.
3 years ago today, she got diagnosed with bladder cancer, and my mom's a tough old broad too.
Yeah.
She's I haven't talked about this on the podcast. She's a paraplegic. She's in a wheelchair. She's been in a wheelchair for like 45 years. She fell off the back of a motorcycle, and she's 21. Broke her back. But she's been in a wheelchair ever since, and just a tough, whatever.
Yeah.
And she got cancer 3 years ago, and they did surgery. She beat it, and the whole time they're like, if you can make it 3 years without, you know, it coming back, then you're in the clear. And today's her 3-year anniversary. So
that's awesome.
Shout out to mom for kicking cancer.
She ain't got no time for cancer. I'm already in a wheelchair. Cancer, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, she don't give a shit. She's like, get out of here.
Still won't eat guacamole.
Won't eat guacamole because it looks like puke. But she beat cancer, so.
Maybe live a little, Nancy. Try some guac. It's such a refreshing dip in the summertime that doesn't have the kick of salt. It's real cool. It's real cool on the tongue. And those, you know, it would probably be a nice compliment to a nice
looks
a
like
southern
puke.
Barbecue. Yeah. It does. I
a lot of stuff she won't eat.
All right. Well,
but, yeah, shout out to mom.
That's good news, man.
So, yeah,
that's
good week. Great. Good week up until yesterday when my Falcons lost.
Yeah, so. The Falcons. We got to that party. This is funny. Rachel and I were leaving our first party.
Uh-huh.
And like, oh, it's an overtime. Oh, I can't believe they caught up. Every year I'm just like, I just want to sit and watch Puppy Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
I know parties are fun, but I live a life of fun stuff. Like,
our whole life's
like,
a party.
Ooh, we're going out tonight. It's like, ooh, I'm staying in tonight.
Yeah.
I get excited about it.
Yeah.
And like, Super Bowl Sunday is always one of those days. Like, I could use it as a day to like make food for myself, but just watch Puppy Bowl, which now this year, Hallmark Channel threw a kitten bowl on.
You weren't happy with that.
No, I mean, I'm happy with it in the way it's kittens and they had two little slides. But it was a shit knockoff, and it was a lousy nod to the Puppy Bowl. You could have done something entirely different. They had announcers, which were people, which they showed. I don't want to see anybody's face.
No, I'm here for the cats.
If I'm watching something called the Kitten Bowl. Mm-hmm. Puppy Bowl has that one ref. He's got a good rapport with all the dogs. I like him when he comes out. He's got a good joke. He plays it straight. He comes out like, oh, you know, unnecessary early watering of the field. The dog will pee in the field. And he'll trade it out with a whistle, and he plays it straight. And that's – they wink too hard at the Kitten Bowl. Not to say it's not going to be fine. Uh-huh. But I love the option that somebody came in was like – I was reading about the origins of Puppy Bowl.
Okay. Explain.
And it was somebody at Animal Planet. I go, like, we can't do anything that goes up against the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
What if we just point a camera at a box of puppies? Like, who, like it was like a joke.
Yeah.
Like, well, we could kind of tweak that a little bit, and that was it. And it's become, I think it might be one of their highest rated shows of the year.
It is funny to see what's up against the Super Bowl. And, like, non-sports channels, you expect stuff like that. But you got to remember, there's five different ESPNs. There's Fox Sports. So it's funny. They always play like figure skating or bowling.
Some Sanford and Sons reruns.
Nothing. But like as far as the sports, they still got to play sports.
Yeah.
But they know that 95% of sports fans are watching the Super Bowl. So they play like weird stuff.
That's where I was thinking like, all right, that's a wonderful alternative to people that know it's a big Sunday deal. And like, okay, it's Sunday to watch TV, but let's flip back and forth. Because the Puppy Bowl is a ridiculous alternative to totally broed up thing like the Super Bowl. But then the Hallmark Channel had to come and be like, well, what about people that don't like puppies? First off, that's nobody. And it's not like the Puppy Bowl hasn't stepped up his game. They got the kitten halftime show.
Uh-huh.
They had an owl this year.
I saw the owl.
They had an owl and a chinchilla and a parrot. And they got all the – like I'm wondering where else they can go. Like,
what time did it start? Do they play it during halftime?
No, they start early.
Okay.
And they just run it all day. They just put it on repeat all day.
Gotcha. So. Who won?
anybody watched. The viewing public.
What if anybody lost money on the Puppy Bowl? Puppy Bowl's rigged.
I always just think of that Simpsons where it's like you bet against the Harlem Globetrotters. I thought they were
due.
The Washington General.
Yeah.
They were due for one. He's got a ladder. I'm so hard at that one.
Oh, my God. That's funny. I love the Puppy Bowl, though.
And that was delightful. So, but anyway, we went to a party at around third quarter of the Super Bowl. That other one with the tacos. And it was fun. They had BB guns set up on the back porch, and we were shooting at stuff.
Oh, yeah, cool.
It was a party pad.
Okay.
And so it was the end. It was tied, and I didn't realize they get 1 point. Let it rip.
That's pretty good.
I didn't realize you get 1 point. It's the first to score. I thought 15 minutes. We called a car to go to your house, and then right after the car was on its way, we're like, well, they lost. And that's right when we were going to your house. I'm like, ooh, this is gonna be a grim scene. We got there.
Everybody cleared out.
Everybody left.
We had like 18 people there, and 16 of them left immediately.
They were gone. Yeah. Like they were like just. Was it heartbroken or just like, all right, we're...
Well, a couple of it. Like, there's only two of us from Atlanta. My buddy Clayton English.
Yeah.
You met Clayton, winner of Last Comic Standing. We started together in Atlanta, and he's out here now. So we were the two, like, everybody was rooting for the Falcons, but we were the...
Yeah.
They were all... Everybody else was like, well, they're not either one of my teams.
You root for the guy who cooked the food.
Yeah. But, man, Clayton took it hard. Like, we both were just... Because we got up so big. We got up halftime was 21-3.
Yeah, it was like I was feeling good.
And in the third quarter, we scored first in the second half, 28-3. So it's like midway through the third quarter, Clayton and I are sitting there like, you know, we didn't want to jinx it because he's a sports fan too, and we know not to celebrate too early. But we're looking at each other like 28-3, it's in the third quarter, it's looking so good. And then it wasn't like a big like avalanche collapse. Like it was just a slow and steady.
Yeah.
They just crept back into the game. And like with every score, we were like, that's all right, we're still up. We were up by 25 at the highest point. And it was like, all right, we're still up by 18. Okay, we're still up by 11.
Just scratching away at it.
Yeah, and we're like, all right, the clock's running. Oh, now we're up by 3. It was just like, what is happening?
I was eating vegan tacos, shooting at a syrup bottle with a BB gun at that point.
It was such a bummer.
And that, like, when you're winning ahead of time, I felt bad. I legit, I know it was a long shot, or not a long shot, but that they hadn't been there once before.
Yeah, they were there about 17, 18 years ago.
And that's it's a rough go, but yeah. I didn't. Do you have any money on it?
No, I never bet on stuff like
Clayton
that.
Clayton have any money on it?
No. I don't know. He may
sometimes
have.
You can see people get upset. Yeah, because it's like you're not upset.
Yeah,
you lost. Yeah. You're upset by the spread. Or
yeah,
whatever.
But boy, it was a bummer. But
no. By the way, it's the Boogie Monster.
Oh yeah.
If you've just been listening to 20 minutes of just a couple assholes catching up. This is a Boogie Monster podcast.
Hey, shout out to the folks on Twitter sending me their Super Bowl food picks yesterday. I enjoyed that. I sincerely appreciate people sending their, hey, Dave, check out these wings and check out these biscuits.
Well, you're putting this advice out in the world, and they're proud to show it off.
Yeah, I love seeing that, so keep that coming. By the way, speaking of which, my buddy, I guess today, I got a good buddy who keeps in touch and always wants to know like where I'm playing and stuff. And he just, I guess he Googled my name today, and the second thing that popped up right after Dave Stone, the second thing was Dave Stone biscuit recipe. So I don't know how that happens, the algorithm, but like.
I know, but that's what people are looking for. Might have to just sell some shares, go public with this stock. I don't know.
Yeah, and then it was like Dave Stone pastor, Dave Stone magician, then Dave Stone comedy. I like that my entire life's work of trying to be a halfway decent comedian is overshadowed by biscuits and a pastor.
Shouldn't have made those biscuits so good.
Yeah.
How was the magician?
I don't know. That's happened before. There's a Dave Stone magician and a Dave Stone like a evangelist pastor thing. One time I did a show somewhere, I forget, it was like at a club, at a comedy club, and they had the pastor's headshot on the poster. Like just some 50-year-old with frosted tips.
Who's, Reverend Dave Stone's going to be here this weekend.
On fire for Jesus. And it's like, yeah, that's not me.
Stone's a solid last name for magic or preaching.
Yeah.
Oh, it's, it's stone. It's a rock. It's trustworthy.
Mm-hmm.
Or stone. Is it a crystal? It's mystery. Like, I see how it goes.
Some people have asked if it's a stage name. It's like, no, that's just my name.
Could have gotten more clever.
Yeah, I would have been a little
stage name.
Dave Stone. Oh,
could
man.
Have with Jeff Stone. You know, the stage name.
Oh, so what's up with you, buddy?
Other than the bum knee. Bum knee, yeah. I just tried to get back on the bicycle, tried to do some sports of my own. And we decided this week. Well, we're getting into the doomsday prepping last week. And I read an article about how the rich. Like that seems like a fun doomsday thing. Like if you're rich and you're just building a vacation home, but it's also a silo underground.
Okay.
Yeah, just what the real, like the billionaires that have paranoia, like have the under concrete silos underground, air filtration systems and water purification.
Wow.
Like,
so I just go and compile a backpack. And these guys spend millions on
and
bunkers.
That's, and none of them will talk about it, but there's companies that build these. And obviously, they got to sign NDAs about who has them and where they have them. One person is an island off of Seattle somewhere. He's like, it was a good point. He's like, there's no way, like, if you think you're going to just make it alone, that's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
And also, if you think if it gets to the worst possible thing and people know you have supplies, they'll come to take it. It's like it's fantasy doomsday instead of fantasy football. It's even the stuff that we're doing, like it's playthings.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, get my toy. Like I was saying last week, if it went down, I'll die. Like, let me just charge the front line of it. I'm not going to. And I don't even like if it's a natural disaster, that's different. But if it's a societal uprising, let me run into the hordes. Let me just Viking storm whatever Trump motherfuckers are out there thinking they're defending their country. You ruined the fucking country, assholes. I'm coming at you with a sword. I don't even want a gun. I want to stab one of these fucking idiots. That's what I want to talk about. Patriots. Fuck the Patriots for the fact that I know nothing about football, but Tom Brady seems like a chooch, and he's got a Make America Great Again hat, and he's just like a sanctimonious fuckface. And also, your team name's the Patriots, which is dumb as shit, Because it's like we just took the most American name. Name yeah. yourself a bird or a mammal or some shit that's regional. You can't just take Patriots, even though would, I get it, it's New England and stuff. Then call yourself like call yourself the New England clam chowders or something.
The muskets.
Yeah, musket, but don't Patriot. We're Patriots. It just makes everybody else sound like they're assholes because they went with a bird name or something. Like, that's another reason. Like, fuck you.
Yeah.
We're the Patriots, dicks. I didn't even there's no bearing with the game. I just Tom Brady, what I've heard about him, I don't care for him. What little I've heard about this guy.
I like to see you get worked up, man.
This is me getting into sports. It's yeah. still just nitpicking real minutia. I thought Lady Gaga, I was impressed with the halftime show.
I didn't see her.
Oh, she was good.
I was too busy frying up those wings.
Yeah, we were working hard. She did a good, I thought it was an impressive show.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Is she good?
I think it's one of those things that, like, you know, when you see an artist and you know they're good at what they do, mm-hmm. whether or not it's something I want to, you don't never realize how many songs of Lady Gaga you know, because
mm-hmm.
then she's doing a montage. I'm like, oh, I know that one.
Yeah.
Oh, that's her. Oh, I know that one.
I don't know much about her other than, I mean, it's hard to escape her presence, yeah. you know, but from my periphery. I will say I do appreciate the fact that she's a little atypical for a pop star in the sense that she seems to mm-hmm. be like, hey, I'm weird and kooky and artistic rather than just like, hey, look at my boobs.
Yeah, not trying to be overly like provocative, but in a weird
yeah.
way.
Yeah, I kind of like, appreciate that.
I also like that she looked like she just had shitty tattoos.
Yeah.
And not a lot of them. Like, eh, I got three. Realized I should probably stop because the outfit she was wearing, she had like... One on the inside of her bicep, the girl placement of one on the thigh. It was uh-huh. like, yeah, you just had a few. You're like, ah, I don't need to keep going with this. These aren't great ideas.
I missed the national anthem. What, didn't some country dipshit sing that?
I missed it too.
Who did they say was going to do that? One of the, they're all the same. All those dude mainstream country, as I call them, Bucky Fuckingtons, just a bunch of dumb jean dipshits. I forgot which one. I get
dumb
them all
jeans,
confused.
Like the just lineage or the denim?
Both. Initially referring to the denim.
Rhinestones on the yeah. back pocket type.
God, who was that? I don't know. They all seem the same. But yeah, well, I miss the national anthem.
Why don't we dive? We're going to talk about sports conspiracies.
You want to get into a little bit of that today?
Yeah. Is there anything else we want to click off other than there's a new Bigfoot video out there that I watched and I was like, fucking no.
The one that the Yellowstone... The one where a guy just videotapes a closed-circuit security camera?
The first video we found was a guy taping the tape of the guy watching a closed-circuit video. It's like, for your original video, click in the link. And I click the original video is just a guy videotaping a live stream.
Wow.
On his computer. I'm like, no, it's no.
I mean, it's the same problem we always have with these videos. It's like, yeah, that very well could be, but it's so fuzzy and blurry.
You got, like, just keep your mouth shut until you find something that, like, see. Otherwise, you're just diluting any credibility you had left. Like mm-hmm. that other one, the drone one,
mm-hmm.
or just somebody running through a field. It's not, but look, from the drone, you could tell that trail's probably about 10 feet across, and he cleared it with two steps.
Yeah, how do you know it's 10 feet?
You've dumb drones, yeah. hundreds of feet in the air, like, ugh.
Although I do think if we're going to find some good footage in the near future, it's probably going to be from a drone.
I could see that.
Because I feel like, you know, part of the issue is that they're so elusive and they can hide from humans. But, like, I feel like they're accustomed – they don't know what an airplane is, but – they've seen, like, oh, there's a thing flying up above me. That's not a threat. No, you know, they're not going to hide from that. You know, I feel like a drone.
But people
could
have gone out with the warmth sensors, heat sensors.
No, I know. But I'm just saying eventually, especially now with the influx of drones everywhere, I think we're going to get some good drone footage of the Bigfoot.
The influx of drones is going to yield a lot of weird stuff.
Yeah.
These idiots stop flying them around forest fires.
You wanted to address the guy who had some questions about smoking?
Yeah, someone got a hold of me on Twitter. I guess I had mentioned that I quit smoking.
When did you quit smoking? I've never known you to be a smoker. I've seen you have an occasional cigarette.
I'll have a cigarette every few weeks.
Oh, really?
Right now, I'll go. I will never buy them.
Uh-huh.
And I will just have, and I'm to the point, if I have two in a night, I get sick.
Really?
One is like a little just cheap little buzz.
Huh.
And it's still, if I really try to suck it down, I don't feel well. But I was a hardcore smoker for like 10 years. I think at my worst, I was two packs a day.
Two packs a day, and there's 20 in a pack?
20 in a pack,
you drink. You would smoke 40 cigarettes a day?
Yeah, if I, if At the worst, if I was doing, I was at the Lions Den open mic on Monday in Chicago, and I worked all day, and I would smoke. I was the guy with like light one off the other on a smoke break, and then I would not feel good. I'm like, why am I doing this? I don't. Why do I think I need this? And like yellow fingers and everything. Huh. And then if I was at the open mic, which you get there at 7 to sign up, and then you might not be on till midnight.
Yeah.
And I just sitting there. I guess, you know, I'd probably give a couple away here and there. But I remember being down at the end. I'm like, man, I was an ass. I needed to have one on stage. Like I had to go up with a cigarette and a beer like a real bad boy.
Yeah.
Oh, chooch.
Would you believe I've never smoked a cigarette?
Really?
Never. I smoked half of one during a sketch. I was filming a sketch with the old Beards of Comedy crew.
Yeah.
And it required my character to be smart. And I looked like an idiot because Andy Sanford was trying to coach me up. Like, I didn't know how to hold it.
When
I didn't
you
know
watching
how to
do a movie,
it.
You can tell immediately yeah. you don't smoke.
Yeah, I felt like a real poser.
Did your parents smoke?
No.
Mm-mm. Wow. In the South, too. I thought that was kind of just ingrained.
Yeah, no.
Tobacco.
Nobody in my family smokes. And it just, even as a teenager, it just didn't appeal to me. Even the whole, I get it, you know, we're rebelling. But it was just like, it just looks stupid and gross.
Yeah.
But yeah, just never had any interest in smoking a cigarette.
I always thought it looked cool.
Mm-hmm.
I always thought, like, dudes playing guitar, but also smoking.
Which
I would try to do in a band. And all that meant was, now I can't take this cigarette out of my mouth. While I'm trying to play, like, this is stupid. Like, and I would just, looking back, I think about what an asshole I looked like.
Yeah.
Just like, look how cool I am. And I just look like such a putz, just such a poser.
The only guy that's ever made me want to smoke a cigarette is Robert De Niro. Like in Goodfellas, when he's thinking about whacking Maury. And then I think it's Cream is playing, and he's just sitting at the bar, and it's slow motion shot of him smoking this. Just the way he's doing it, and then
it looks cool.
The look on his face, and it's like, man, I get it.
It looks cool. That's what like vaping is. I can't understand. Like the only thing about smoking left was that it looks kind of cool and sexy.
Yeah,
and now you just have a video game controller that you suck on.
It looks goofy as shit.
It looks dumb. I'm all about trying to just support, like, hey, man, if that's your thing and you found it, but people doing, like, vape competitions and stuff. I mean, this isn't a weird opinion to have. Most everybody thinks it's stupid except for the people that are into it, and that's their thing.
Yeah.
I don't hear, they're not judging me for not doing it, so.
Yeah, does seem odd.
Whatever, weirdos, but I think it's, I don't know. But anyway, I quit smoking. Because I did a whole bunch of cocaine one night.
Really?
Yeah. And I smoked so many cigarettes just in that night that I woke up and I was like, I got to quit stuff. I was so physically ill and didn't have cigarettes on me. And I was like, you don't get to have any today.
Yeah.
And then the next day I was like, you didn't have any yesterday. Why buy some today? You still feel gross from 2 days before.
Yeah.
And I guess this is the one day at a time that thing that addicts talk about. Like, now you got another day under you. Now you got another day. Look at that. You got to a week.
Yeah.
And after I started jonesing about it, I was like, I didn't need that at all. Everything, my car stunk. My hands stunk. I remember at one point, this is going to be pretty gross. But it was back when I was living in Chicago, I was like coughing so much in the shower one morning.
Oh, no.
That I had to like reach in and grab a piece of phlegm.
Oh.
That was so thick.
Oh.
I was pulling it all the way out of my lungs.
Oh, like a magic trick.
Yeah, but it was like a piece. It was basically like a piece of gum. Like that's
how
the phlegm was. Like I had to bite it to get break it off.
Ah.
Yeah, and that didn't make me quit smoking.
Oh, that's so gross.
Yeah. Yeah, that was it did give me pause, but I still kept smoking up until. And now it was weird. I was real nervous about when I had one again. That, funny enough, the next time I smoked any tobacco was in the Midlands of England. I was on this short little tour, and someone gave us a joint, but everybody there like splits their weed with tobacco. And so we were smoking. I'm like, it's like a cigarette. and we're smoking it while looking for werewolves in the moors.
Well,
like I made somebody pull off because like, oh, this looks just like American Werewolf in London. We're like, stay out of the moors. And
yeah.
It looked with the fog that only comes up waist high. I'm like, pull over the van. Who wants to just go creep around out there and get stoned? I'm like, all right. And I was like, oh, I think this is a cigarette.
I've always been amused by smoker etiquette, like just the whole, hey, can I bum a cigarette? Because like, if I was standing outside of a bar and a fat guy was eating a Kit Kat, I couldn't just be like, hey, can you break me off a piece of that? I don't have if one of my
use,
own.
If you use the slogan, I guess.
You break me off a piece of Kit Kat bar? Or, hey, anybody got Snickers I can just have?
Like, I mean.
And also, in the workforce, back when I used to wait tables and stuff, hey, will you cover my tables? I'm going to go smoke. Cover my tables. I'm going to go jack off. Like, no,
I think that's fair play.
Yeah, I never got smoke breaks. I never got to just go pause for 5 minutes.
Yeah, I realized how much when I was at jobs, I'm like, I'm going to go to a cigarette. Like, how much of a cheating freedom that is.
Yeah.
That everybody else is working.
Yeah.
Like, it's not a good thing. And I almost feel like people that start to smoke now, it's like somebody getting their first tattoo now. It's like, but I'm sure this is what my parents thought when I got my first tattoo or when I was started. Well, and then my mom smokes. And so I finally, she knew what to get me for Christmas every year. I get like a carton of cigarettes.
Your mom would buy you a carton of cigarettes?
Yeah. I don't agree with you smoking, but would sit there smoking the whole time. So
oh,
she
man.
Knew she had no foot in the fight. No foot in the fight, no foot hold, whatever.
Yeah,
anyway.
I get it.
But yeah, like to start now, it's like, ugh, there's too much information out there to know that it's lousy. And it's more frowned upon. You know,
yeah.
Nobody really smokes anymore.
Yeah.
And a couple friends, but not many.
I've always hated those truth.com commercials. They were real big about 10 years ago. Just all these commercials about, and it's like,
yeah.
But everybody knows, idiot. If you're dumb enough to smoke, you know what you're getting into. Now, if they were advertising cigarettes as some sort of protein supplement, and then, ha-ha, you get cancer. But like,
which is what they did in the 50s.
I do know that. Yeah, I know they – but like nowadays, like those Truth.com commercials are so sanctimonious. And it's like, yeah, no shit.
Well, and they were silly too for a while. And I heard that – this was a conspiracy theory from way back is that because that was part of like when the tobacco companies had to do a big payout, that they paid for those ads. Like they also had like – and also pay for ads to like
– really?
Like anti-smoking ads.
Interesting.
And so that's why some of the ads were real stupid because they're like, are you making us come up with commercials to tell people not to buy our products? And they got – like some of those truth.com ads, like I get the point you're making. Like make it seem like a movement, you know, and like all the body bags and stuff. Like, I get the point you're making, but it's – it's a moot point. Like,
yeah.
Anybody that's smoking doesn't realizes what they're doing.
Yeah.
I can't think there's any misinformed smokers out there.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's an addiction. It gets you.
So how would you? What advice would you give this guy?
Well, yeah, I guess don't do a frisbee full of cocaine with your roommate at the time who went by one name. Whose memorial service
oh,
I went
that's
to.
Your, that's your buddy.
Memorial service I went to a few weeks ago.
Yeah, you were talking about that.
He died
that.
Of heart complications. So maybe that's the whole tale right there.
What was his name? Luz?
Luz, yeah. It was Spanish for light.
Oh, man.
Oh, crazy light. Yeah, so maybe that's it. Like, you know what I wonder about is when something's finally coming around to take you. Like, all right, I got the gout thing, which isn't an internal, it's not a system thing, but it's definitely a knock on the door. Like, hey, death ain't coming yet, but death is down the street. You're getting old. Like, how do you think you're going to behave in the face of, like, knowing, like, oh, what I got is from what I've done during my life. Like, if you get to the point where, like, oh, yeah, I have heart disease. And then you can't get mad. Like, you're like, no, of course I have heart disease.
Yeah.
Like, I wonder emotionally how to process it. Like, I really want, like, the emotional strength that people have when they get something that they shouldn't have gotten at all. Like, so, like, my grandmother died youngish, like, early 60s, but just aneurysm. Like, was doing fine. My grandma, all of a sudden, boom, like, just quick. And how like upsetting that is to people. Like I wonder what's like when it's going to be something like, oh, you have cirrhosis and you have all this stuff that you were aware you were going to get, but you never, like, and you're just going, well, would I've done things different? I mean,
well, we're both at that age now where we're eligible for health conditions. You know, in your 20s, you're never thinking about
eligible.
It. Yeah, we are. But like in your 20s, you never think about your health. You just eat, drink, smoke, do whatever. But like when you start to get in your 30s, especially when you start to get in your 40s, like with me, with my weight loss, like I need to lose weight. And up until now, it's always been for my motivation's always been cosmetic. I need to lose weight so I look better. You know? So I'm not a fatty. But now it's like, no, you need to lose weight so you don't drop dead of a heart attack or get diabetes or get heart – whatever. You know? So it's weird to – we're at the age where like, oh, I got to start paying attention to my health. Whereas your teenage years, your 20s, you just – you never think about it.
I was – I mean, I kind of had a joke about it on the last special, but like I was trying to get my doctor. I'm like, I like look in my butt. Like like I, when you think about everything that you send in your face hole,
it reminds me of then, Shane Moss joke.
Then comes out. Oh, what's Shane's
joke? He's talking about. He asked his friend's a doctor, and he's like, I asked him to look in my butt, and he goes, Shane, I'm an eye doctor. Well, then look in my butt. We're just a couple of buddies, and I want you to root around in my butt for a while. Look in my butt.
That's stupid as shit.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. She said now, like, oh, you really don't have to do it till you're 50 or something. Just do it.
I thought you had to do it when you get 40.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, because I was talking about that the other day. I got to get somebody to root around in my butt.
She was saying, no, now they can check other ways. I'm like, I'm not trying to be a freak here. But I want the old-fashioned...
Look, I want you to ahead,
go ahead and poke around in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I'm not going to get anything out of this, but peace of mind. But, like, poke around. Because just of knowing, like, oh, everything I've eaten has given me uric acid problems and high purines in my blood. And, well, what else? Like, my buddy had colitis, which is where...
What is that?
If you eat too much red meat or, like, spicy things, that just sits in, like, a little fold of your intestines and then tears open so it's spilling the waste inside your body cavity. Oh. And he had that. It was right after I moved. So we were, like, late 20s.
Ugh.
Yeah, rolling around with a colostomy bag.
Oh, no.
He didn't have one anymore, but... But so... And that was, like, that's ass stuff, I guess. Well, it's kind of between the stomach and the ass. I don't know. Everything that just... Everything gives you cancer, and you could have this attitude like, well, then fuck it, man. I'm just going to live. I'm going to eat everything that tastes delicious. That's the weird thing about all this bad news. Did I talk about this last week?
A little bit about
I wonder if like, people's diets are like... Well,
just go for it, man.
Either I need to diet because I need to get in shape for the revolution, or it's all over, so I'm having Whoppers with cheese.
Changing subject real quick. Just made me think about it. You know, all the stuff we've been talking about the last few weeks, a lot of the Trump stuff. I was thinking about this today. I know everybody knows that his tweets are absurd. Is he really tweeting his own tweets? Or
do you think somebody else is tweeting that dumb? Like, do you think somebody else is that – that's not the president? That somebody else is like, would you fucking knock it off? He gets away with it because he's the top guy and he's a dipshit. And they're wonderful distractions from how they're dismantling our democracy.
So he's really sitting around on his iPhone tweeting out this bullshit.
Yeah, which I think it was Aparna. Somebody else tweeted like, wait a minute. Aparna today. You tweet that much? Well, you're at work? You're fucking fired. You're fired.
Yeah.
If you were at any other job – just imagine a boss of a company where you're like, oh, I'm invested in this company stock, and the guy's just in there tweeting all day. Like, get rid of this fucking asshole. He's not doing shit. It's upsetting. And again, without getting too torn up about it. Yeah, somebody found, like, they could, like, route the IP address to one of his phones. Like, you could always tell. Wow. There's been legit tweets that are well-worded, and you're like, no, he didn't touch this one.
Yeah.
It's, like, so, it's painfully obvious that Dick Thumbs gets on there. I call the shots. He wrote, I call the shots today or yesterday.
God.
I call the shots. The president of the United States of America has to tweet out, I call the shots and everybody knows it. Fucking shoot this guy, but take out the next five people too. You can't just shoot. I didn't say I was going to do it. I just said if somebody did it, fucking cool. I didn't say I would do it. I'm not a threat. I'm on a cane here. I can't. I'm hardly a mastermind. But if you know, again, Manchurian Candidate. Hey, are you real upset? Show me how upset you are. How mad are you?
And we talked about this before, but like,
is it a satire program? Is it a comedy podcast?
I'm not gonna accuse everybody who voted for Trump of being a racist idiot. I understand that some people voted for him based on economic reasons. You know, yeah. And like we talked about, the farmer in Iowa, he's just trying to keep his farm from getting shut down. And if he thought that Trump is gonna help that more than Hillary did, I get that. But the people who are still like just rah rah, look at him go! Are these pro Trump,
supremacists.
If you voted for him for whatever reason, okay, that's whatever. But I know people who are still just like, like how can you be proud of what he?
Because they were assholes to begin with.
Yeah, there you go.
There's a really good Twitter account called Trump Regrets, and it just retweets everyone who is sad they voted for Trump.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's a little bit heartening here. Some people just, I thought you were going to make America great again, but you're banning Muslims. Like, you can't do that. Like, people that voted for him, like, you can't do that. That's
– yeah.
Oh, you're just – my thing is like, he said he was going to do that. Yeah. You vote – he's doing everything he said.
Yeah.
So I still think they're fucking morons to be surprised that he's doing it.
Do you think he's going to build a wall?
I don't know. Well, if he's building it, we're paying for it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but how long? And this has been talked about. But that's going to take forever.
Yeah, and we'll pay for it. And it's the hack joke, not hack, but it was a very funny joke when it came out. Who's going to make it?
Yeah.
I guess that'll be his job creation. And just whatever, like how much people are paying for security for him and his whole family, and security at Trump Tower. Now you're paying for security for him at his private residence. It's awful. He sucks. Don't stop marching. Don't stop protesting. They do make a difference. That's like, don't get, they were talking like people are going to get protest fatigue. Like they want you to get worn down. They want you to get upset about tweets. And look how he gets mad at us. Bannon's the whole thing. So don't shoot Trump, shoot Bannon. That's not illegal. Say shoot that guy. You just can't say you want to kill the president.
Yeah.
You can't say for your first person. I think you could say second person. Like, you should kill the president. I don't think that's illegal. It's only in first person.
There you go.
Or third person, like he or she.
Oh, man.
Maybe we got some edits in this one. I don't give a fuck.
Did you want to try to delve into our topic?
Yeah, we got about 15 minutes left.
Right, let's just touch on it real
quick. About some.
You brought this up last night when we were watching the game, or when you came after the game. But yeah. Like, sports conspiracy theories.
I think, without much proof and not even being a sports fan, why wouldn't it be rigged when you got millions of dollars at stake?
Mm-hmm.
Like in cases where, let's talk about the, like, what I was reading about it. It's my theory was always like, I think they let the New Orleans Saints win the Super Bowl did they win?
I don't know. Katrina? We talked about that last time.
I thought the Yankees won after 9/11, and they didn't. I've been sitting around like, that's why they let the Yankees win after 9/11. Like, no, I didn't win.
They were in the World Series.
They were in the World
Series. They lost to the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Yeah.
And I can't remember. I remember we talked about the Saints in 05, and you Googled Katrina trying to find out if the Saints won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
When you could just Google the 2005 Saints. I don't know. But so your point being, you know,
government use manipulating sports as propaganda to, like, or cities or something.
Like, okay.
But maybe that's too broad of a brush to think that they would dabble in it. But why not get your Army recruiting commercials out, get your Navy commercials out during the sports, like use it. Everybody's watching it. That's why advertisers pick that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Get an all-American Tom Brady who's on the Patriots. Like that's, but he's a good football player, right?
Oh, he's great. He's a great quarterback.
All right. So, you know, and not even to mention, like, I don't even know, like, issues of race and stuff that come up now, but, you know, who's a Jackie Robinson and all the shit he went through. I'm talking like Trump, given his Black History Month.
Yeah, by the way,
Frederick Douglass was a guy.
What was it? Did he say that in the context as if he thought he was still alive? Like, he's doing great things or something like that?
Yeah, it was just a black guy whose name he remembered.
But it sounded like he thought he was alive.
Yeah.
And he died 120 years ago.
Like, we can talk like that because we're dumb. And we know that. Mm-hmm. So, therefore, listen at your own risk. But I think it's not outside the realm of – there's still businesses.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Intersport's cheating, of course. Like the theory that Jordan got poisoned for a playoff game with the Utah Jazz and still went and breathed. Like, he's got the flu, but they really think he got poisoned.
Yeah. Well, I've been a lifelong sports fan, and I've never really thought too much about sports conspiracy theories, especially in the context of, like, the government rigging stuff. I am well aware of some of the theories that have been floating around for years and pertains to, like, gambling.
Yeah.
You know, we point shaving and people throw in – they going all the way back to
What's point shaving?
Point shaving is when – all right, a lot of times it's easily executed in basketball and sometimes baseball. Point shaving is purposely playing poorly. So you shave – like, all right, we're going to win. Everybody knows we're going to beat this team. But for the bookmakers, the gambling world, would they want us to win by 10 points not 30 points.
Oh, okay. That's
so, like, guys purposely missing shots and layups and throwing the ball out of bounds. There's been a lot of that. There's a great 30 for 30 documentary about some college team who was the mafia – got a hold of some college basketball team, and the mafia was paying them to point shave and to throw games and stuff like that.
How bad, like, what's the worst you've ever seen of, like, this guy is throwing a game? Like, do you have anything personally where you've watched it and, like, this belongs? Somebody was saying that about, there was the fake, Muhammad Ali that.
Yeah, the Phantom Punch, yeah. Sonny Liston. I think that was back in 64.
Which I watched the video of that, but mm-hmm. It's hard to tell. Maybe that's why. Maybe you can only see the angle where you can't tell if he connects or not.
Yeah. I mean, it all kind of started.
Because they said, like, Sonny Liston's family was kidnapped by black Muslims.
Oh, really?
That was the one thing that I read.
Oh, wow. Well, the most famous and maybe the first big one was the Black Sox scandal. Mm-hmm. The Chicago Black Sox back in the 1919 World Series. Did you ever see that movie, 8 Men Out? John Cusack and a lot of
folks. No, but I know about it.
Good movie. That's what that movie's all about. It's about, I don't know all the details, but I believe gamblers paid a lot of those players.
This podcast should be called I Don't Know All the Details. Because that's just us looking at our phones last minute trying to come up with stuff.
But yeah, gamblers paid
to piss it away.
Yeah, not the whole team, but I think at least six or seven of those players, and a few of them, including most famous Joe Jackson, Jackson, was banned for life. And then it was later
I probably should have had him wear shoes in the first place. That's not regulation wear.
And in his defense was like he had a pretty good series. Like he's like He played pretty well, and he's like, nobody paid me. I did okay.
Yeah.
You know? But, so I've always been aware of that stuff as far as, like, the gambling angle as far
Pete Rose, banned for life.
Pete Rose, which I still think's stupid. Until you can prove he bet on games that he was managing or playing in, which he claims, and there's no evidence that he did, that he, you know.
Oh, that's what it, like, he was.
He bet on other games because he was a gambling addict. But he didn't bet. He wasn't throwing his games. He wasn't.
So is that like when, like, if you want to play McDonald's Monopoly, they're like, employees aren't eligible. Like, you can't bet on sports if you're an athlete?
Yeah. Yeah.
Any sports?
I don't know about that. I do know the sport that you're paid to play. But, yeah, apparently, to hear him tell it, and there's no evidence, as far as I know, that he did this. He's like, no, I never bet on games that I was involved in, because he was a player, obviously. And then he was one of the rare examples. Every now and then, it doesn't happen anymore, but he was a player coach. He was a player manager, meaning he was managing while he was also on the team as a player. That's only happened a few times.
Oh, that's amazing.
So, like, a guy who's not retired, who's still an active player, but, like, I'm also I also have the title as manager.
The not undercover boss.
Yeah, yeah. he just bet on a bunch of other games. Yeah. And he admits, like, yeah, I had a problem and I bet on all kind of games. But no games that he didn't throw any games that weren't games that he was involved in. So I still think that's horse shit, because the Hall of Fame's filled with degenerate scumbags. And Pete Rose, one of the best players that ever lived.
Yeah.
But, you know, because he bet on baseball.
That's why I always laugh about how there's, like, the outrage about Deflategate or anything. But, like, yeah, what about all the rapists and murderers you guys employ?
Yeah, absolutely.
I had some half-cocked bit, but I just, like, I'll make fun of sport. I'm not an athletic guy, and I'll make fun of, like, I think football's like, whatever. I make fun of it, though, and I shit all over it. And I'm like, yeah, it's just filled with date rapists and murderers. Anyway, which Bukowski book was your guy's favorite? Mine was the one he wrote right after he kicked his wife on video. But they're artists, you know. They get a lot of stress as an artist. It's hard to, you know, come up with new work. They're under a lot of pressure. So you got to understand, like, the double standard that people, like, all these hipsters will allow.
Yeah.
Like, certain artists, there's like, well, it's just, it's complicated mind, the mind of an artist. And they're,
same thing with music.
Pressure. Yeah.
We turn a blind eye to some musicians. Yeah.
So I just, the hypocrisy.
Sure.
Shit.
Uh-huh.
Yep, just wandered through that one. The hypocrisy. Okay. Yeah. I found it.
Look at that. There it is.
It was down at the bottom of the drawer. I don't know those wrong words. how people will turn to blind eye because, they're sweeping under, again, that conspiracy, sweeping under the rug. They're making us millions of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
These players are worth millions of dollars. They did what? Fix. That's like a Ray Donovan type shit. He just gets out there and fixes Hollywood fuck ups.
I still haven't seen that. I hear it's great.
I liked it. You know, I didn't hear a lot of hype about it, but I enjoy the Ray Donovans.
Here's one of the most interesting conspiracy theories I've ever heard. And I only heard this recently, like a year ago. A good who told? Maybe Ryan Singer.
It's Monday, I think The Bachelor's rigged. I'll watch that in a minute.
You know who Cal Ripken Jr. is?
Yeah. I mean, to the extent that I read about this conspiracy as well. I like that.
I've always loved him. He was a great player. He was one of those, like, he was never, like, the best player, but he was just consistent.
He had heart.
He had heart. And
heart wins over people a lot in sports.
And he was good, don't get me wrong, but he rarely would he be the guy who led the league in home runs or batting average or whatever. He was just a solid A-minus player across the board for 20-something years. Mm-hmm. But he holds the record for most games played, consecutive games played. I forgot, it's over 2,000. I forgot the exact number. But from like 1982 to like 01 or 01, played every game. Damn. In that baseball, they play 162 games a year.
And yeah, whether or not people are like, they're just fat, they're just out there, it's still a sport.
Yeah.
You're still, all of a sudden, oh, you want to earn your millions of dollars? Quick, run as fast as you can and dive at this ball that's coming at you.
Yeah. And this is a crazy story, and who knows if it's true or not. But in 97, this is after he already broke the record. Lou Gehrig held the record for most consecutive games played prior to this. But in 97, let's see. No, is it 97?
Well, they were playing. Where'd the power go?
Okay, Camden Yards. Yeah. Orioles, I was thinking, right? This contradicts the motive here because they say it was after he broke Lou Gehrig's record. I think it was before. Regardless, he had that consecutive game streak. And one day, this is – now, I don't know.
Yeah.
This never was validated. He apparently was good buddies with Kevin Costner.
Yeah.
So he's in the middle of this streak. He's trying to keep the streak alive. He hadn't missed a game in 18 years, blah, blah, blah. So one day, he comes home early, and he finds his wife in bed with Kevin Costner.
Yeah.
And he beats the shit out of Kevin Costner.
Dances with my friend's wives.
Apparently, he loses his shit, goes nuts, beats the hell out of Kevin Costner, and fucks up his hand.
Yeah.
Breaks his wrist or breaks a finger, does something. And now he's like, ah, shit, I can't play tonight. Next thing you know, Camden Yards has an electrical failure.
Power outage, yeah.
And the game gets postponed.
And he kept saying he was there, though. He was at the Camden. How did he play the game after that, though?
Good question. I don't
know. Like, what if he played like shit? And he was like, no, I'm fine. Like, if you bust up your hand's busted for a while.
Yeah, yeah.
So
unless he just kind of tweaked it and he couldn't play that night. But, like, what a crazy story that is. Comes home, finds Kevin Costner banging his wife, beats the hell out of him, screws up his hand, and then next thing you know, Camden Yards, the power goes out, and they can't play tonight.
Also, how much do they cover up injuries and what is it, like CET now? What's the concussion?
Oh, yeah.
Is that what that movie Concussion was about?
Yeah, that's what it's about the NFL players getting concussions. And
then they had it in Any Given Sunday, which is an awful movie that I can't not watch when it's on. I don't. Yeah. It's like these Oliver Stone epic shit shows.
Yeah.
I watch all of them, and they're not good.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been a year since Dave Mira, pro BMX rider, took himself out because of that.
Yeah, man.
That's a sad thing. And it just... Even from that, from the extreme sports level, like Matt Hoffman's still riding. And if there's Everybody keep an eye out. The same way we're looking out for Ruth Bader Ginsburg, we need Matt Hoffman in the world. We need we need just a mellow, like, insane extreme athlete that has done more, like, more, done everything for that sport. But all of a sudden you see interviews like, oh, yeah, how's it going? Just hanging out.
That's cool.
On his Instagram, it's like, it's usually injured, so he just paints pictures. And they're not good pictures, but it's like, well, this is what I do to relax, just paint owls, paint birds. I'm like, keep this treasure alive. So look after him, because that guy's been knocked out I don't know how many times.
Really?
Yeah.
That's dangerous.
Hey, anybody in Oklahoma, over by the Hoffman Ranch there, keep an eye out. We need him.
Yeah, that's a big deal, man, these concussions. I mean,
but covering it up, like having a doctor for a team covering it up, whereas these guys are just independent. But still, you realize how much is on the line. Those guys are millionaires, these skateboarders and everything. Like, yeah, just I need to pay for things. Shoot me up with a painkiller that'll last until the next time I need to be shot up with a painkiller. And then what's the side effects of all that stuff?
Mm. I tell you the time I gave myself a concussion on television.
You got a crushed beer can on your forehead.
Crushed 13 beer cans on my head. Gave myself a concussion. But hey, it's on TV.
See, now in the future when, like, yeah, you have minor brain damage, you're like, yeah, yes, I do.
I've had two now.
That second one? First one?
First one was in football. I played football in high school and college.
Self-induced concussion.
Got my bell rang. Just concussed pretty severe.
How do you know if you've had a concussion?
I didn't know it the first time, but the doctors told me you got a concussion.
I'm like, don't go to sleep. Anytime you get your head, don't go to sleep. Yeah. And it's like, what happened? Do the demons come? Like, you're a little kid and, like, you can't fall asleep. That's the scariest thing to tell a child who's seen Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah.
Oh, I hit my head. Don't ever fall asleep again. Well, what? Explain why.
Oh, man. Here's another interesting conspiracy theory that I had no idea about until I was also told by a buddy about this a year ago. Do you remember? I know you're not a big sports fan. Do you remember when, in the prime of his career, at the height of his ability and success, Michael Jordan just decided, hey, I'm going to go play minor league baseball?
I remember that. I didn't know that was like the height of his career.
I mean, that was 93, 94. I mean, in his prime. He was probably...
You don't think it was just like a Chappelle moment where he's like, eh.
Well, that's what they want you to believe, and that very well could be the case. But at the same time, there was all these rumors going around about his extreme gambling.
Yeah.
Like high dollar shit. And him owing money to people and him just crazy, crazy bets and crazy gambling habits. One of the theories there is that the commissioner was like, dude, we got all this evidence, kind of the Pete Rose thing. Like, you can't, okay, you're not throwing games you're playing in, but we can't have you betting like this. You're the face of the NBA.
Bringing some heat around.
One of the theories is that instead of suspending him, David Stern, the commissioner, was like, look, why don't you go play baseball for a year or two so I don't have to suspend you.
Why don't you take a break and keep your nose clean?
Because it does not make sense that in his prime that he would just walk away, especially an athlete like him who is, you know, a lot of these really A-list athletes like him and Kobe and some of these guys, LeBron, they're just obsessed with their legacy. You know?
Yeah, not being marred.
Yeah, like, well, not even that, but like, okay, I've won 3 rings, but I need to win 8 rings. I need to win the most championships.
Somebody said that about like a Tom Brady commercial that was, I don't know if it was a Super Bowl commercial, but he was wearing 5 rings in it already. Like, the whole joke is about he's got too many rings.
Yeah.
I didn't see the commercial.
Well,
like,
last night was his 5th championship.
But the commercial that was taped before the Super Bowl, he was wearing 5 rings in it.
Oh, wow. And they aired that during the Super Bowl?
Something that came out yesterday, so okay. I'm sure he didn't tape it last night after the
Super Bowl. I mean, I could see them taping it last week and airing it today, but if they were airing it during the Super Bowl, that's a little arrogant.
No, I saw it last night.
Okay, maybe after the Super Bowl, they're like, okay, we can play that one now because it's relevant.
But not even that, but just the fact that he taped a commercial like I won another Super Bowl.
Yeah. Well, I don't have a problem with that because there was a 50-50 chance he was going to win.
Yeah, I guess.
So that's like when celebrities on their deathbed, they aren't dead yet, but like as soon as they die, they've got these 20-minute pieces. And you're like, you know, they worked on that a month ago waiting for this guy to die.
Yeah.
Anyway, Jordan.
There's a lot of Hillary 1 t-shirts being worn.
Oh, there's – I mean, this is a hack joke, but tomorrow in some third world country, there's going to be a lot of kids wearing Atlanta Falcons national championship, Super Bowl championship shirts.
The first time I heard that was my buddy CJ, who's hilarious. It, like – It's like, imagine being the guy about to be murdered by gorillas, and your last thought is like, did the Bills go to the bowl in 88? I don't remember that. It's the last thought before you're murdered by insurgents.
Oh, that's funny. But yeah, so the theory is that he was kind of forced out, and it was they spun it as if, I'm going to go play baseball.
Is that when his dad was murdered? Is it the same time?
Yes, right before that. His dad was right before that. His dad was murdered, and connected to this same theory is that his dad was murdered due to some of Michael's gambling habits and gambling debts. Yeah. Like maybe he owed the wrong people too much money, and boom. And
think if you're Michael Jordan, like, how do you not have that money?
Yeah, I don't know. Unless it's like crazy amounts.
So hard to understand. Like that MC Hammer type thing. How did you go broke?
Yeah.
How did you? And then you realize, he paid for 30 people entourage and supported them.
So that's crazy. I mean, one of the most beloved athletes of our generation, of all time, in the face of the NBA, you know, getting into these scandals, and they're spinning it as if, everything's cool. I just want to go play baseball. And my dad died out of just random act of violence. And I don't know.
Well,
that's weird. Another one real quick, sticking to the NBA. You know who Patrick Ewing is?
Yeah.
Who's Patrick Ewing?
He's got a big square head.
By the way,
one
of my favorite jokes of all time, Zach Galifianakis. He says, my girlfriend looks a little like Charlize Theron and a lot like Patrick Ewing. Yeah, just a big square head, dude. Yeah. Played for the Knicks for many years, went to Georgetown, was a phenom coming out of college in 85.
Yeah.
He was the number one pick in the 1985 NBA draft by the New York Knicks. Played with them for probably at least 15 years. One of the best centers in the game. Never won a ring, I think. Never won a title. That was during the Jordan era where Jordan was just winning every – there was the two or three years when Jordan didn't play, when he went and played baseball. That's when everybody's like, finally, okay, we can maybe win one this year.
I remember when they went – like the Dream Team went to the Olympics and they would interview players from other countries. Like, they didn't care. Like, they knew they weren't going to win. Like, playing with Michael Jordan.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, they wanted to be dunked on. Like,
other players were getting autographs from them and stuff. Yeah, it's crazy. Anyway, there's a theory and a rumor – that 85 draft was rigged. And I don't know if this is how they did it then. Now they have the draft, but like a couple of weeks or a month or two before the draft, they have the lottery, which is how they determine who gets to pick first, who gets to pick second, and so on and so on. And usually it's like the worst 10 teams, the 10 teams with the worst records all get a ping pong ball. And then during the draft lottery, they pick the ping pong balls and decide, next month this team gets the first pick, this team gets the second pick, and so on and so on. Well, they had a similar thing back in 85, but they didn't do ping pong balls. They did envelopes. And I think there was like the worst 10 or 12 teams had envelopes in this big glass jar. And the rumor and the theory is that the New York Knicks froze their envelope, and then the commissioner, the guy who picked the envelope, was in on it, and they were like, hey, man, pick the frozen envelope. And he's like rooting around trying to find the cold envelope, and he picked that one. And so there's one theory that it was frozen. There's another theory that it would had a bend. The corner was bent.
Like,
but anyway,
card tricks or
something. Regardless.
What did the commissioner get out of it?
I don't know.
Paid him off?
Maybe they paid him off. Yeah, I don't know what his – like why he would – obviously he's getting something out of it if it is true.
Like, you know what? Nobody's ever tried to pay me off.
Yeah.
This is a great idea, you guys. I would love to get bought out.
Yeah. But apparently that happened. And, I mean,
you need to think about Olympics scandals and Russia doping. Oh, it's the prize. Russia cheated at something.
Yeah.
Fucking shocker. But that might be a whole other thing. So basically, these aren't even sports conspiracies. It's just cheating.
Yeah, just cheating.
Which I have no problem believing that the fucking dickheads in my school shitty jocks would cheat at something to get ahead. Like, I've seen where your moral compass is. You don't know. He cheated.
I don't have all the facts in front of me.
We never do.
There was an NBA ref who got caught and fired and I think maybe jailed. Tim Donaghy. Donaghy, I believe is his name. This was probably 10, 12 years ago. He was an NBA ref, and he got caught. Like, people were, I don't know if gamblers or somebody was paying him off to, like, throw games.
Calls, sure.
See, that's interesting. Up until now, we're talking about, like, from the player's perspective of throwing games and cheating. But, like, to have a ref, somebody on the inside you know, making bad calls on purpose and stuff like that. And I think that guy may have wrote a book or he's done some interviews, yeah. But he's got all kind of stories of some of the crazy shit that he was involved in. Look up Tim Donaghy.
What's the checks and balances for a ref?
I don't know.
Like, you have to be vetted and just like, yeah, what's at stake for that? You know,
I'm sure there's
like, they make a call that's bad and then it's reviewed by the other refs.
Well, now it's all changed with football and baseball. And like, they have video replay in both sports, but like, baseball has just started doing it maybe 5 years ago and NFL hadn't been doing it very long. But all right, 15, 20, 30 years ago, there was no review. It was just like, yeah, you know, there was a case a couple of years ago where a major league ref, I think it was with the Chicago White Sox. The guy had like a perfect game. The pitcher was pitching either a no-hitter or a perfect game. And like the 27th out, the final out, there was a bang-bang play, ground ball, throw it to first. And the ref called the guy, the runner, safe, thus losing the guy his no-hitter or perfect game.
What's perfect game?
Perfect game is a no-hitter but with zero walks or errors.
Oh, okay.
No-hitter means you got all 27 batters got out. Well, not necessarily. A perfect game is all 27 up, 27 down. No hits, no errors, no walks.
Oh, okay.
Which is very hard to do. Yeah. A lot of people throw not a lot, but a no-hitter is very hard to do. But you could technically
walk some people.
You maybe had a walk. Maybe a guy got on base because of an error.
Yeah.
You know, but a perfect game is a no-hitter with zero walks, zero errors.
Knowing this was the White Sox, at what point did a shirtless father-son team storm the field? Because that usually happens every year.
Yeah, that does happen a lot. But anyway, this guy and everybody was like clearly like, dude, he was out. You called him safe. And then like the next day, the ump like looked at the tape and like went on SportsCenter and like teared up and was like, yeah, I missed that call and I cost that young man a perfect game and there's nothing I can do about it, and I'm real sorry. He was, like, crying.
Oh, he can't go back and
augment
the record?
I don't think so. Ugh. So he's like, yeah, sorry, screw. And I think that might have been one of the catalysts of, like, well, we need to start using video review.
Yeah, there's technology accessible to us. Well, let's do a comic of the week.
Well, we didn't really solve anything here, but
no, it's mostly just chew. You know, it's about Super Bowl. I was riled on your behalf about those dumb Patriots and the Trump loving fuckface winning the whole thing, and of course, you know, the Patriots won, and there was.
Speaking of the Patriots, and speaking of what we're talking about, I mean, I don't know how closely you follow, but part of the reason people don't like the Patriots is they've been caught cheating several times in the last few years. Spygate in 07. They got caught filming the New York Jets practice, which filming the opposing team's practice I don't think is technically illegal or against the rules of the NFL, but like the way they did it or like there's certain stipulations that Deflategate just 2 years ago in the Super Bowl, they beat the Indianapolis Colts. And you know about Deflategate
because they're softer balls.
Yeah, apparently Brady likes if you deflate the ball just a little bit, takes some of that air pressure out. You get a better grip on it. And of course, then the question was like, well, how did they deflate his balls and not the other team's balls? But then you could still control that. But like the ball guy being like, hey,
we didn't talk about the Tour de France at all.
Was that just the doping? Just a lot of steroid guys?
A lot of doping and a lot of – I guess one of the things that they'll do is they'll take your blood. I forget the process they call it. They'll take your blood at it's weird that this is considered doping. And again, not many facts. They'll take your blood at sea level.
Uh-huh.
Like you'll give them bags of your blood. And then when you're just in the Alps – running this bike race, they put your blood back into you because it's got a higher oxygen content. So you're just getting your own blood that's more oxygenated back into your body.
So this is the illegal way to do it. This is the trick?
That's illegal.
Okay.
But then they were starting to get caught with motors. They have to do like heat sensors, like you look at any of these bikes around here, but right in the down tube going into the crank there,
there'll
be little tiny motors to assist. That was something people were getting busted.
Oh, wow.
And so they had to do heat sensors on the frames to see if there's, you know, they'll pet a little bit, see if it's generating heat inside the bike.
Interesting.
But it was, what's the big Lance Armstrong's whole thing?
Yeah.
About getting busted and having all his titles revoked and this. Well, he brought so much into stuff he's done for cancer research and charity. It's like, yeah, well, you fucking cheated at the thing. You know?
Hmm.
You cheated at the thing.
Yeah.
Still, I mean, I don't think you were cheating just so you could be a great guy and help other people.
Yeah.
That you're cheating because some people are built with that competition mindset. There's comedians that are friends like that are like, they see it as like, that's the only time I've ever been competitive was like when I started doing stand up. Not to spite anybody, but like, I got to be the best person on this show.
Yeah.
Not because I wanted to win, but like, if I'm going to, like, this is after I moved here too, like, I want to be the best at this thing.
Yeah.
But not like to stomp someone else out.
No.
I'm just like, I still think everybody's great on this show. Even better.
Yeah.
Look at how great this lineup is. I really got to fight for this one.
Yeah.
This is the only time I've gotten that competitive spirit. Like, well, that means if I'm not the funniest person on the show, it means I can't make a living out of this stuff. And then I can start to understand that mind. Like, what if I cheat a little bit? What if I ask to go up earlier in the lineup? That's still kind of like cheating.
I hate comics like that.
I do that.
Do you?
No, not often. Once in a while. I'm just late to every show.
I get if you got another show to go to, but I've worked with so many diva comics. Like, I don't want to follow that guy. I don't want to go last. I don't want to go first. I make it. I go out of my way. Even if I do have a preference, I go out of my way every time. Hey, where do you want to? I don't give a shit. Your show.
Or if it's somebody.
I don't give a shit. Yeah, wherever you want me to go.
If it's somebody like, oh, yeah, Dane Cook's going to drop in and shit on the stage and run his time. I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm going up before him or I'm going home.
Yeah, yeah. But just in a neutral setting, I don't care.
Yeah.
I'm a comic. I'll go wherever you want me to go. I don't give a shit. Man, we didn't even touch on baseball. Talking about cheating, there's so many interesting. Baseball is probably the most cheated sport there is.
Really?
Baseball
corking
players.
Bats? Corking bats.
You spit
cork and bats. Great name for a wine bar in a baseball stadium.
Pitchers messing with the baseball, scratching it, using fingernail files in their gloves.
I learned all
Vaseline
about that just from Major League.
Yeah. Oh
the
yeah.
Guy had different parts of his body.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Had Vaseline.
Rubbed snot on the ball.
Yeah. Oh man. But yeah, baseball players are notorious stealing signs. That's a big thing. If there's a runner on second base, while he's on second base, he'll be looking at the catcher trying to figure out what each sign means, and then he'll relay it to the batter like, oh, he's about to throw you a fastball. Yeah. That's the thing about people don't realize about baseball. Like, if you know what pitch is coming, like, this sounds like I'm bragging, but like, I could hit a major league fastball if I knew he was going to throw a fastball.
So who's trying to read the sign? Like, the second baseman?
Second baseman is trying to read the catcher signs.
And then he just yells it out to the pitcher?
Well,
how does he tell the pitcher?
No.
Or no, how does he?
He'll tell the batter.
The batter. How does he tell?
He'll have signs for him.
Oh, he's got
He's like, hey, if I'm on second base and I rub my ear, that means the fastball guy's about to throw a fastball.
Coming.
Yeah.
I laughed so. It was just the dumbest joke just for me, but I forget which series. I think it was the Mariners. Somebody had like bright green fingernail polish because you know they're trying to get the signs.
Yeah, so the pitcher can see his fingers.
I just thought it was the funniest thing, like to be in the locker room after the big hype speech. Like, and we're gonna get him, and then the one guy's like, "Hold on," and just blowing on his nails. Like, I'm not ready.
Oh, but yeah, baseball players are so inventive with some of their little schemes and tricks and stuff. It's very interesting. One of the most famous ones is. I forgot, maybe 83, 84. I think it was a playoff game. George Brett, it's a famous piece of footage. George Brett hits a home run, very timely home run, really affected the outcome of the game. And then after he already rounded the bases and went to the dugout, I think it was playing the Yankees, Billy Martin. I think it was Billy Martin, who's the manager of the Yankees and also a Yankees player back in the 50s and 60s. But he came out and told the ump, like, hey, check his bat. He's got too much pine tar on his bat. And apparently you can have – pine tar is just that sticky stuff that they put on the handle of the bat.
Yeah.
But it can only go up so high on the bat, and he went up too high. And I've always thought this, that doesn't give him an advantage.
Like,
because
it's not where he connected.
Yeah, exactly. And even if it did, that would hurt. Like, that would affect the flight of the ball. But it was just a rule. Like, it didn't really affect his performance. But, like, the rule says you can only have 18 inches of pine tar, and his went up to 20 inches. And they reversed the home run. And George Brett comes running out of the dugout. I'm sure you've seen this. He comes running out of the dugout. He gets right in the ump's face and just, like, just loses his shit.
I love it.
It's so
funny. Whenever there's a baseball fight, I would always, just for my own enjoyment, yell at the TV like, I don't understand. You all love baseball. What's the problem here?
Stop it, you guys. Oh, but yeah, so that, I don't know. Baseball players are so tricky with all that shit. But anyway, yeah, maybe we'll revisit this and talk more, you know, be prepared, but talk more as far as like a grand big picture thing, like you were hinting at, as far as you know, the government's involvement.
I mean, there's just specific stories that I'm sure go deep.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you got like I said, the Olympic stuff we didn't even touch on, but
fascinating stuff.
All right.
Well, good times, buddy. Let's see. No, I don't need a recipe today. I gave a bunch of recipes the last few weeks.
You're recipe'd out. Take a break, Dave.
All right, I'll take a break.
Big weekend.
People still asking for that biscuit recipe.
That's
man.
Why I got you on the Facebook page now,
crazy.
Too, so you can answer
crazy
some
stuff.
Of these
trying to think if there's any shout outs we need to make to people.
You got
I don't
shows
know.
This week?
People hollering at us on the Twitters and whatnot. No shows this week. I do got some shows coming up. Valentine's Day, I'll be up in Arcata, California, at the
Ooh,
Jam.
All right, sweetheart.
Yeah, They're promoting it as Valentine's Day with Dave Stone.
That's
I don't
sexy.
Have any like Valentine's
it.
Material.
It doesn't matter. Make it sexy.
Oh my! I have zero relationship jokes. But I'll be in Arcata on the 14th. I'll be in San Francisco February 15th at Doc's Lab. And then two more real quick. The 16th, I'll be in Chino, California. Chico, California at Gallery 1078.
Chino's the prison.
And then on the 17th, I'll be in Reno at 3rd Street Bar. So 4 days in a row
Chino and Reno.
Yeah, Chino and Reno.
Two trained.
So yeah, come
squirrels.
See me 14th, 15th, 16th, 17th. I'll be at those dates. So you got any dates coming up?
Just here in LA, just doing spots. Maybe yeah. UCB Sunset on Thursday.
What show is that?
I think Fresh Out.
Fresh Out?
Yeah, Fresh Out is a fun one.
Is that Conover and Emily Heller show?
Yeah. I don't know if they'll be there. I don't know if the famous people will be there.
That's their show, though, right?
It's Emily's. Okay. Conover, yeah.
I think Adam Conover's a part of that. Adam Ruins Everything.
That Nerd Melt, Saturday night, don't know what time. Bar Lubitsch, Sunday night, don't know what time. next Monday, I'll be on At Midnight. They're doing it live.
Oh, cool. Well, that'd be fun.
Yeah.
You've been on there several times.
Yeah, done it a grip.
How many times you won?
I don't know. I've been kind of not caring about winning it.
Yeah.
It's just because now, like, Doug Benson takes it real serious.
Does
Funches,
he?
Funches always wins.
Yeah.
Funches, as soon as Funches laughs at his own joke, the whole everybody just, it's like seeing a puppy that can't get up a step, and you're like, oh. Go on, keep rooting for the millionaire, fucking jerks.
Funch has got a brand new TV show.
Funch does. Well deserved.
What's it called? Powerless?
I was asking him, name drop. I was asking him about it. It's a pretty funny concept. It's about a superhero world.
Uh-huh.
It focuses on a small group of people who don't have any superpowers.
But they're in that
so
world.
It's like they flip the script of an X-Men type thing.
Uh-huh.
So
that's
and it's
cool.
Him. It's Danny Putty.
Okay.
Putty? I don't know how to pronounce it.
That NBC?
Fun.
What is that?
Man, I don't know.
It's one of the big networks.
It's a big thing.
Okay. Well, that's cool.
But I'm saying he's going to be fine. Why don't you let the kid win one on At Midnight?
Yeah. Back off, Funches.
Let's do Comic of the Week. Wrap it up.
Comic of the Week. Very funny lady.
Mm-hmm.
Laurie Kilmartin.
Yep.
You know Laurie?
Yeah. Writes for I think she still writes for Conan.
Yeah, I know she did. She may still do.
Always very nice. Done Conan a couple times and would go out of her way to come back and say hello while I was there, which was nice.
Very funny lady. Got a brand new special on CISO. 45 jokes about my dead dad.
She was tweeting while it was all going on, like tweeting jokes out. And not in a cult, like in a very heartwarming, like this is how I'm coping with things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Have not seen the special. Don't have some CISOs.
Yeah, it's on CISO. CISO doing a bunch of specials now.
Yeah, a lot of good comedy on there. I don't know of anybody who has a CISO.
They got to get on like the Roku and the Apple TV and stuff.
It's on Roku.
Is it?
Like you got to pay. Same problem I got with fucking Comedy Central is that I got all these specials out there, but you got to go out there with... Get in bed with Hulu or Amazon or something. But and that's my problem. But back to Laurie Kilmartin.
Although it's just $4 a month for CISO.
Well.
You know. There's a lot of good content.
I think about how
there.
Much I spend on cable right now.
Yeah.
A little
$4. $4 a month's not much.
I got no excuse.
A lot of our buddies have specials on there. Rory Scovel's got a special on there. A lot of good stuff going on CISO.
There is.
So yeah, Laurie Kilmartin, 45 jokes about my dead dad. Just a pleasant lady, funny as shit. I believe she's got a podcast now with Jackie Cation.
Yeah.
I forgot the name of it, but I know they're doing a thing now. So if you don't know Laurie Kilmartin, spelled like it sounds, Kilmartin, Check that out. Should be a good special. I haven't seen it yet. I'm very familiar with a lot of her other work. She's done Conan a few times. Yeah. I mean, obviously, you said she's a writer, but she's performed on there and seen her on there a few times. Just a very funny lady. So look up Laurie Kilmartin. That is our comic of the week. So good times, buddy.
And I guess that recipe is you want to use 3 packs of Parmesan cheese, mm-hmm. and 3 packs of red pepper,
mm-hmm.
scramble up some eggs, and put some old spicy ranch dressing in there to fluff them up, and you won't feel good for a while.
Store bought ranch.
Kyle gets a recipe. Kyle gets a recipe today.
Yeah, y'all. If you want the details on that one,
honestly, I thought the red pepper flakes wasn't a miss. That made sense to me. Yeah, but all right,
can't go wrong with that.
Well, all right.
BoogieMonsterPodcast@gmail.com. BoogieMonsterPod on Twitter. So holla at you, boys.
The Boogie Monster. We'll be right back.